This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 298. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
And we're back. Clark and Lois back together again. It's lights out for Stormwatch while Angel is renewed. And a happy ending for Nika and William. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, April 6, 2014. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you should leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, we're back to our regular schedule. Sorry for all the various delays and special episodes. Life kind of got in the way.
Sooner or later, Mark, we have to learn how to use Skype to record this when we're apart.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Earth 2, number 22 by Taylor and Scott. So we get a breather from the constant battling and explosions and such. We learn that Alan Scott is back, as pretty much expected from the previous issue, a teaser, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the team is trying to determine pretty much what their next steps are going to be. Lois / Red Tornado is working with Val, who we learn his name is Val Zod.
So maybe related to Zod.
Yes. And so he's learning about his powers. While Superman, remember, now is evil Superman, learns that Batman is back and considers him to be the much bigger threat than Val.
But of course, he doesn't know this isn't the real Batman.
Right. They just assume he's somehow resurrected as well. Hawk Girl sees the parademons coming in, which is just a feint so that Superman can attack Val, and is about to take him out when Lois speaks to him, which stops him in his tracks. Is this a possible way to break Darkseid's influence over Clark? If it really is Clark, we still don't know whether he's some sort of reanimated clone or if it's actually Clark.
Okay, so I have a question relating to the World Finest Huntress and Power Girl.
Yeah.
So was that the evil Superman for real from their world talking to them through the porthole?
Supposedly, yes.
Okay. So they could have gone back, but they probably would have been murdered immediately.
I'm guessing, yeah.
All right.
An aside about that is that we've learned that part of that World's Finest Batman Superman First Contact crossover has been delayed, like in the middle of the story. So there's going to be one coming out later this month that was like a middle part of that story. Which is why it really made no sense and really the generally standard poor job we see from DC's editorial people.
They just don't coordinate these things well.
No, they don't. So the Earth 2 story was rather short, mainly due to a multi-page house ad for Detective Comics. The team from the Flash title is taking over that. And they put that in a lot of titles. Now, they do that a lot where they're doing these teasers for other comics, but this was multi-page, and frankly, it took over like a third of the pages of the issue. Between that and other house ads.
Yes, that was a little disappointing.
Stormwatch number 30 by Gates and Roberts. So another of the original New 52 books bites the dust. It's been on life support for a while. Really started as an interesting concept where this mysterious team protects Earth. The team goes back millennia, all the way back to the Demon Knights, another canceled title. They handle threats that Earth's heroes can't, all while staying out of the limelight. People don't know they even exist. But then it got lost in the shuffle of events and cancellations and delays and new creative teams coming in. So the original team is back, which is Apollo, Midnighter, Jenny Quantum, Engineer, Jack Hawksmoor, and Projectionist. after they were caught in a status trap. So they didn't know they were replaced by another team for 8 or 9 issues. I thought this was an interesting way to do a reboot of a team while staying in continuity. Basically, this overseeing group is saying, well, let's just change up the group because they're becoming too much of a threat. And then they change them back. So it's all actually in the storyline that they're rebooting things. And the main purpose of this issue, this final issue, seemed to be to reestablish the team so they could be used later.
Well, that's what I thought when I was reading it, because I haven't read this one in a while. I did start reading it again at the beginning of the New 52 because you like it so much, mm-hmm. but I found it difficult to follow. And so I read this one, and it read really more like a first issue. Let's explain who everybody is.
Right. They had the roll call and the whole nine yards. Very strange for a final issue. Presumably, DC plans to do something with this team somewhere down the road. Angel and Faith Season 10, Number 1 from Dark Horse by Geisler and Conrad. So we get a new creative team for the new season. You know, keep in mind, this is how Dark Horse is handling some of their titles, where they are treating them like new seasons or additional seasons of an old TV series which has been canceled. And in this case, Angel and Faith. So this is much more closely tied to the Buffy title. At least at first it is. We'll see if that stays that way.
Well, before it wasn't, because they weren't in the same publishing house.
Right. But we've already had multiple seasons.
We have had
seasons.
One season where they were
right
in the same publishing house, but not really together.
Right. And now they seem much more tied together. The main storyline is about how magic has been screwed up after Buffy and Angel's event, going back a little ways, as to what was
Harvest?
He called? No.
Harvest?
No, it wasn't Harvest. Forget the name. I couldn't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
But it basically screwed up magic. So we find out that England's fairies are now like street gangs, and Angel is duking it out with them, while Faith is helping out Buffy back in the U.S., and we see the other side of the conversation that we saw in Buffy Season 10, Number 1.
Right. So Buffy learns about Giles' resurrection there as a kid. And I thought that was really touching in Buffy, but
we see Faith learn it as well.
And she feels a little bit rejected, I think, as she always does when Buffy's around.
Faith decides to join up with Kennedy's security team. And Angel, meanwhile, back in England, finds out that someone is helping out the displaced people, and it's someone named Nadira.
Yeah,
who is
she's
this?
Been around before, but I can't really remember her. Sorry.
So be curious to see if this remains a parallel story for a while, where Angel and Faith are kept separate in their own stories, and they just keep going back and forth.
I have to believe that Faith will come back in.
Trillium, Number 8 of 8 from Vertigo by Lemire. So this trippy miniseries comes to an end. Now that the soulmates, Nika and William, are together, we don't get any more flip books, upside down panels, things that we were seeing throughout this title. All is right with the world, except for the fact that the human race is about to be wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
So this infected colony ship is about to crash land basically directly on them. So they have to get this space ark out of harm's way that has the remains of humanity in it who are all going to go into cryo sleep. And Clay, who is William's brother from World War I, that whole timeline, volunteers to stop the colony ship so that Nika and William can take off just in time. And then Clay's ship is blown to bits just as he is on the radio with William and trying to reconcile just as he's blown up.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the Ark is damaged, so Nika puts the AI being in charge.
Skeet. Oh, no,
yeah,
it's Skeet. Not Skeet.
Yeah.
But
yeah, in charge of the ship. And our heroes go out in space to undock it from
all I could think about
vessel.
Was the saucer separation.
Yeah, exactly.
The Enterprise saucer separation.
So Nika says she'll go out to do it so William can be saved. But he's, no, I need to go out with you. And then Nika says, we're not broken anymore because now our memories are back and people, not that there's really anybody left around to realize it, but they know they're not insane, that they actually experienced all this. So they manually complete this undocking procedure to save the Ark so it can go off and save the rest of humanity. However, the two of them are left in space in their spacesuits. Nika wants to return to this temple that she saw at one point, which she thought maybe was a vision, but now she realizes she was actually there. And this involves jumping into a black hole.
I'm not quite sure how you can just jump into the black hole.
It seems like...
You would either be sucked in or not be close enough to get into it.
Yeah, it seems like if you're not... If you're in a spacesuit by yourself and you're...
Yeah, let's swim through space to the black hole.
Far enough to get to the black hole where you would actually get into its gravitational force, it seems like you would die long before you got to that point.
Yeah.
And they only have an hour of air left.
Yeah.
So they do, because we'll just accept that they did that. And we see them somehow meeting each other in their hour of need,
mm-hmm.
where William is experiencing shell shock in the
trenches.
Mm-hmm. And suddenly Nika is there. And Nika, as a girl, is watching her mother float away into space. And then William is there. So we then suddenly cut to this tribe who are living in teepees, and actually didn't notice this one thing, which makes it much more important. When I was looking through it a second time, the Ark is somehow protecting the teepee. Like, the Ark is over the set of teepees and still operating, because you can see, like, the engines flaring. And this girl with white hair is drawing a picture story, and somehow Nika and William's story has become their... tall tale, their religion. It's kind of left open to your interpretation. Did the AI tell them about these people?
Oh, maybe, yeah. Maybe it was the AI. I was thinking, how would they even know about it? Because they were all asleep.
Yeah. I expect Trillium to win a lot at awards time.
Yeah, it was a really interesting concept. Very original, I thought.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how they actually do the trade with all the flip books and reversed images and all that, especially the flip book. I just don't understand how. I guess you could just print it in order and just say, okay, here it is,
but
I,
you know,
it
with
loses
the flip book
impact.
Yeah, you would have to, because it would be like, okay, go 20 pages in,
right,
and then flip it over,
right,
and then read backwards.
Exactly.
So
all right, before we get out of here, it's the return of America's newest and greatest game show.
Yeah. Whatever. Who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I am ready.
I don't appear to have my timer, so we'll just play
right here. Okay.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Beep. TV related?
Yes.
It's one TV show?
Yes.
A current television series?
Not really, but sort of.
Not really, sort of. Is it on one of the three major networks?
No.
Okay. Is it on...
Well, it depends on how you define the major network.
Is it on CBS?
No.
ABC?
No.
NBC?
No.
Fox?
Yes.
Okay. It's Fox, and it's a show that is maybe still on. Okay, well, is it a reality show?
No.
Is it a comedy?
No.
Is it a drama?
Yes.
Okay. It's a... Is it some sort of procedural?
Sort of, in a way, but not really.
Okay. Is it genre related?
Sort of, in a way, but not really.
Hmm.
Depends on how you define genre.
Okay. Is it supernatural?
No.
It's not supernatural. It's not science fiction.
No.
It's
not at all.
Okay. It's not medical.
No.
Is it police?
Sort of.
Okay. So some sort of government thing?
Yes.
Is it 24?
It is 24.
So it's Kiefer Sutherland on
it
the cover?
It is Kiefer Sutherland. I'm very proud of it. See, because it used to be a TV show,
right,
but it's not right now, but
yep,
it's coming back.
That makes sense.
Yeah, see? You did it. Wow.
Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.